أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Alhamdulillah that God has given us another opportunity to cover more of the words of the Ahlul Bayt, the Holy Prophet and the Imams, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in. I move to a different chapter this time. As we mentioned from the beginning, we're not going to be able to cover all of the ahadith in this book of Al-Kafi. There are simply too many, and we're going to have to be selective. We did some hadith from the unit, or the book, as Sheikh Al-Kulaini calls it, Kitab al-Salah, the book of prayer. And now I want to move on to another book, a book that is actually less referred to, and it's important that we look at it as Muslimin. We are not pushed away from it due to, I don't know, the conditions that we're in, circumstances, people, and what people think about it, and so on and so forth. And also, we have to try to understand it correctly. So without further ado, this is going to be Kitab al-Jihad. We want to look at the ahadith that have to do with jihad, a very important chapter of hadith, as we will find. There are very interesting things that the Prophet and the Imams have said regarding jihad. So we'll get into it, inshallah. The first chapter of the book of jihad is Babu Fadlil Jihad, the chapter on the rewards, or the value rather, the value of jihad. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it very good? These are the ahadith that we want to look at. Sheikh Al-Kulaini has gathered them in this chapter. Hadith number one starts with the chain of transmission. عِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِنَا. We've mentioned this before. This means Sheikh Kulaini is mentioning that he has received this hadith from a number of his teachers. عِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِنَا عَنْ أَحْمَدِ بْنِ مُحَمَّدٍ. In this tabaqa, as they say, or this link, if I may, this can be either Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Isa or Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Khalid al-Barqi. Both of them are reliable. An Ali ibn al-Hakam. I roughly remember that maybe some people had an issue with it. We consider him reliable. عن عمر ابن أبان. This is from what I can remember of the research that I had done on عمر ابن أبان, is that first of all, he is a Shia, he is an Imami, and he is a reliable person. عن أبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. He narrates from Imam al-Sadiq salam الله عليه. And according to the account, Imam al-Sadiq narrates from the Holy Prophet. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله الخير كله في السيف. Goodness, الخير, goodness, كله, all of it, في السيف, is in the sword. وتحت ظل السيف, and under the shadow of a sword. I'm going to give a literal translation first, and then go back and look at what this can potentially mean. Try to understand it in the context and so on. ولا يقيم الناس إلا السيف والسيوف مقاليد الجنة والنار. Nothing will straighten people except for the sword. And the swords are the keys to paradise and hell. I'm sure some of us hearing this are starting to have doubts either regarding whether we should read these hadith or not, or whether or not this has been said by the Prophet. Those who love the Prophet are probably thinking the Prophet didn't say this. And those who dislike the Prophet are probably thinking, al-ayadu billah, none of those are listening, but anyhow, if they were, they would say, oh yeah, see, we told you. Let's look at what this means. First of all, we've mentioned before that the most important criterion that we have in evaluating hadith is the hadith being in line with the Quran or not being in line with it. Does it fall out of line from what the Quran teaches? This falls in line with what the Quran teaches. Why, where, what verse in Surah Hadid? The verse that talks about Hadid. وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ. These are the words from the verse. I believe it's verse 21 of Surah Al-Hadid. وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. We sent down the iron, Al-Hadid. In it, فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ talks about either the pain or the damage that it can do. فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. It's very, very severe. The context is, the verse starts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that we sent prophets بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ with clear, manifest signs and guidance. For what purpose? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. In order for the people to rise in justice. Then he says, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ. We sent down prophets and books and messages, and we sent down metal, iron, what you make weapons with. فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. This is referring to the effect of that steel on in using it as a weapon. It's very harsh, it's very severe. And so this hadith is in line with that verse. الْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ فِي السَّيْفِ. God says we sent all these prophets down with that message in order for people to stand in justice, to stand for justice, to stand justly, to create a just world. And this is وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. All of the khayr that God sent down with the prophets and messengers that is supposed to become part of human life on earth and cause the people, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسِ, people in masses, rise for justice, rise justly, create a just environment for all people, on all levels, spiritually, emotionally, materially, financially. All of that khayr, God says we sent them, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, the sword, weapons, that is necessary for that khayr. It's necessary. Why is it necessary? Is it that the way Western media portrays Islam and what the Prophet did and what Islam preaches, and then they create the likes of what Taliban did in the past as a government in Afghanistan, and the Wahhabis did in Arabia, and worst of all, Daesh did. And they show it, they say, here, this is what it is. Bloodthirsty. Yeah, خير كله. If it's safe, you need to walk around with a sword. Anyone that falls out of line with from God's teachings, whoever doesn't conform and comply with those teachings, take that sword and either hit them or chop their heads off or chop their hands off or do this or that. Very brutal, barbaric. This is what is understood. That's what the West says. And it's funny because the West is the one that has done worse than that. Because they did it not for justice, they did it for and are doing it for injustice. The injustices of the Zionist regime, they used that steel, they used weapons to kill innocent people, throw them off their lands. And every time they try to take back what was theirs, they were killed. Anyone who tried to stand against them, they killed them. Whenever they wanted to take any resource anywhere in the world, in South America, in Africa, in the Americas, when the Europeans moved in this direction, we're talking about the Western civilization that went on a rampage, really, globally, stealing resources, killing people, to become the wealthy, rich West that we are aware of and develop what they have developed. They used those weapons. They used to test how sharp their swords were with innocent Native American children and youth. They try to cut their hands. And if it cut through very quickly, very easily, then it's sharp enough. Otherwise, they needed to sharpen their blade. Bring me another hand. This is recorded in history. They walked around with their swords. The U.S. military is the one that has bases in East Asia, in Japan, off the coast of China, close to Chinese territory. In the Indian Ocean, in so many different Asian countries, in the Middle East, in so many different countries, in Africa, in so many different countries, in Europe, in so many different countries. They're the ones who are taking all those weapons and then using them for injustice. Before the US was the superpower, the Western superpower, the British did that. Before that, the Spaniards did that. Before that, the Portuguese did that. During the two so-called world wars, there was really the war of the Europeans and their allies fighting each other over who's going to rule the world and who's going to steal more of the riches. The Italians and the Germans, the Russians, the USSR at the time, not the current Russian establishment, it has changed. They were fighting each other, killing people, bombing, trying nukes just for the heck of it to see what it does to people. Drop a uranium bomb and then drop a plutonium bomb to see the difference and study it. How many people does this kill? How many people does that kill? The people who behave this way are using hadith like this, verses of the Quran, to say Islam behaves in that way. No, you behave in that way. That's how you behave. That's how you are. That's not what these words mean. That's not what that verse means. What the verse means and what this hadith is saying is that when you have monsters like the Zionist regime, when you have monsters like the US regime, when you have monsters like the British and all the others that did the same thing, in order to establish justice, you need the sword. You need weapons. You can't go out on the streets and protest and just with words and being present on the streets create justice in the world. That's necessary, but it's not enough. Because when you want to stand for justice, when you want to live justly, there are those who don't want to, and they will resort to weaponry to stop the process of justice. That's what they will do. When the Prophet started his message, those who didn't want that justice, they didn't want slaves to be equals with them, they didn't want women to be equals with them, they launched a campaign. There was a media campaign against the Prophet. There was a military campaign against the Prophet. And all prophets, it wasn't just our Prophet, but we're using that, the last and the greatest Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. They launched campaigns against him, sharing the message is not sufficient. You stand for justice. Justice of the intellect, to understand that there is really only one God. There is a God, but only one God. There's none other. That's justice. To say otherwise is the beginning of injustice. Once you take that unjust step in regards to where we came from, then you start acting unjustly towards other things, other people, and so on and so forth. He just said it. They threatened to kill him. They tried killing him. They tortured those who said what he said. They killed those who said what he said. When you stand for justice, that's what these monsters will do. When in the modern day, when Imam Khomeini told people and spoke the truth about the Shah, about and against the Americans, against Israel, when he spoke that truth, and he said that the rule of the Shah is unjust, what did they do? Imprison him. When the Shah allowed the Americans to have the right to do whatever they wish in the country, to whomever they wish, a marja of the Shia could be killed by a soldier. Worse than that, they could unleash their dogs to kill a marja of the Shias, according to what the Shah made the parliament of Iran pass, that law. No Iranian and no Iranian court had jurisdiction to say anything to that man. When the Shah did that, Imam Khomeini spoke out, said that he is selling Islam, he's selling Muslim. He spoke. What did they do? Imprison him. People came out on the streets without weapons, saying, "We demand for our leader to be released from prison." How were they treated? They were killed. They were massacred. People in Varamin were killed. Monsters had weapons. These people spoke the truth, believed in the truth, wanted to live by the truth, didn't want to live under the authority of these kuffar. And their own fellow countrymen that work for the kuffar killed them for saying this is how we want to live. They sent Imam Khomeini into exile. 15 years. Anyone who listened to what Imam Khomeini said, wrote down the statements of Imam Khomeini, distributed them, they would be taken, tortured in ways that are not imaginable to us. They learned some of those techniques from the Israelis and from the CIA. The Savak was created by the CIA. They tortured people who wrote down the statements of Imam Khomeini. They killed some of them. They wanted to govern themselves based on justice. There are monsters that prevent that. In order for us to be able to live justly, To stop these monsters, we need weapons. That's what this hadith means. الخير كله في السيف. All of good is, it doesn't mean whatever comes from the سيف, from anyone's sword, is good. That's not what the hadith is saying. In order to have all good on earth, you need the سيف. All good is in the سيف. Not everything coming from the سيف or from the sword is good. No. Monsters use that sword against. But if you want good, you need that سيف because those monsters are there. Because the Zionists are there. Because the U.S. establishment with all these drones, all these nukes, all these F-35s and F-16s and whatever you can imagine and all those things you can't imagine and all the covert operations of the CIA, they don't want to allow it. How are you going to make sure that we do get to justice? Safe, you need weapons. الخير كله في السيف وتحت ظل السيف. And under the shadow of a سيف, a sword. In other words, the presence. The sword will have that effect, okay? The sword needs to be used. But then it says under the shadow of a, what does this mean? A deterrent. If you have, once the battle of Badr was fought, that pushed a lot of people who wanted to come and kill the believers off. They would think twice before taking that step. It was a deterrent. Having legitimate weapons, okay, nukes are not legitimate, Ayatollah Khamenei has mentioned, and maybe at some point we can discuss that. What does it even mean to have legitimate and illegitimate? Back in the days, there were certain other, there was no nuke, but they did have other means that were illegitimate. For example, it's more like chemical weapons. They would poison water, or they would block water off. They would prevent people from getting water to make them die off from thirst. These were illegitimate means of fighting. Muslimin did not do that. The Prophet did not allow it. Okay, these are illegitimate ways of fighting. They were possible, but they're not allowed. Weapons that are legal Islamically, having them, of course, with the willpower to use them. If they're used appropriately, when the time is right, when they attack, you defend and you teach them a serious lesson, like what happened in Gaza recently. When you use that, it becomes a deterrent. This is one of the accomplishments of this particular victory. تحت ظل السيف. When they know you have this, you use them. Realize, okay, you have them and you will use them. Okay. That creates and becomes a deterrent. It makes them think twice next time if they want to try this. ولا يقيم الناس إلا بالسيف. People collectively, the only way to straighten people, it doesn't mean people, there's two ways of interpreting this. One is the wrong way, the what the media portrays as Islam, using examples of the, I don't even know what the Taliban did, honestly. What we hear is unfortunately just from Western media. Of course, there are some things that we heard from the media outlets of the Islamic Republic. Some of them can be trusted. So I don't know the extent of what the Western media says, we don't trust it. There were some behavior was actually happening. For example, going and hitting people to go to the masjid and pray on time. Okay. One way of understanding this is that wrong way. The only way to straighten people out is to have the sword. Okay, to have a stick, a sword, prayer time, you better go. No, there you go, hit them. If not slicing them, at least on the side of the sword, hit them, give them pain, get in that masjid and pray. That's a wrong way of interpreting it. The correct way of understanding it is in line with what was already said. If people are to be corrected collectively, if society is going to be clean, If society is going to be straightened, how do you do that? You need the safe. Without it, it's not possible. Because the rulers are going to govern who is going to be allowed to teach the people what right and wrong is. Who will be allowed to sell what products? Products that hurt people or products that help people? Religion, everything. The ones who have that, if those, the people who have it, who are monsters, they give the wrong direction to people, those people are going to be going in the wrong direction. If you want to correct that direction of the people, how is it possible? You need weapons. The only way. The ahadith you hear about the coming of the Imam and weapons, the repeated line, that weapon idea, this is what's being said. It's necessary. It doesn't mean a lot of people are going to get killed. Millions of people, we're just going to kill off half of the population of the earth. That's baloney. No, it's not the case. It's going to be minimal, as the hadith said, tahta dhill is safe. If there is the sword, the weapons are available, they are used in the cases where they need to be used. That causes those who would want to push people in the wrong direction to start reconsidering what they were trying to do and stop doing what they were doing. And then the believers, the imam, they would be able to give the people what really the truth is, instead of having media that feeds the interest of the Zionists, of corporations. They don't care about the health of the people, the spiritual health of people. Hollywood makes movies for sale, for making money. Does this destroy the family? Who cares? This is a monstrosity. This is what happens to a society that allows for these things to happen. People who know the truth, know what's right and what's wrong, they need to have weapons so that people, they want to say, this is what they see, the wrong people have all those means, right? They have all those means. You say the wrong thing, what they don't want, you talk against Israel, what are they going to do? They take out your stuff from social media, they take out your stuff from, and then they start showing you visits at home with guns, with weapons. For what? That's dhillu safe. They want to show you that weapon A. They use it here and there. They kill a few of the leaders. To do what? Everybody get in line. The way what we say. They have used that to mislead people. The only way to correct people collectively, to clean society, is through that. Going out protesting, these are all necessary, but that's not going by itself. It won't do it. It will not happen. Because the people who have the weapons are not saying what they're saying because they're looking for the truth. They're looking for what they identify as their material benefit. And they don't care, so you can talk all you want. That's what it is, isn't it? وَلَا يُقِيمُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا السَّيْفُ وَالسُّيُوفُ مَقَالِيدُ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. This is a really nice ending of the hadith. Swords are the keys to paradise and hell. The keys to paradise and hell. The keys to paradise, some of what was mentioned, I think, would clarify that. It helps. It's a necessary element in opening the doors for people to find the truth, to practice justice, to become better people collectively, and to enter paradise. Instead of being fed misinformation about Islam, misinformation about the truth, being taught wrong ways of living, morality being stripped away from society, and causing it to go towards hell, the sword is the key for all these people to go to paradise. That's maqalid al-jannah, the keys to paradise. Why hell? Well, the sword is going to be used against a certain people, those who decide they want to go against the truth, they want to go against justice, like the Zionists. These swords, those weapons that were used by the Muqawama, were the keys opening the door to hell for the people who... That's one way of interpreting it. There's another way that comes to mind. I don't think this second interpretation is what is meant in this hadith, although it can be something said otherwise. It's the key to paradise and to hell. In other words, the safe, the sword, can be used to cause people to move in the right direction, or it can be used to cause people to go in the wrong direction. That's also a legitimate concept, but it doesn't seem to match what is generally said in this hadith. Hadith number 2. Ali ibn Ibrahim an abihi an al-Nawfili an al-Sakuni. We've had this chain of transmission. Ali ibn Ibrahim is a great scholar buried in Qum. He's the person known as the author of Tafsir al-Qummi. And his father, Ibrahim ibn Hashim, was one of the first to move from Kufa and bring the hadith he learned from the scholars in Kufa to Qum. So two great scholars that we have, both buried in Qum. An al-Nawfili an al-Sakuni. An-Nawfili and al-Sakuni are not Shia, but they were reliable, they were good people, and they loved the Ahlul Bayt. They went to Imam Asad. We have a lot of hadith through these two figures. An Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, from Imam Asadiq, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Again, according to the Holy Prophet, lil jannati babun. For paradise, there is a door, a gate. Yuqalu lahu babul mujahideen. It is said of it, in other words, or it's called, we would say in English, the door or the gate of the mujahideen, the ones who strive and fight in the way of Allah. يَمْضُونَ إِلَيْهِ. They move towards it. فَإِذَا هُوَ مَفْتُوحٌ. In other words, the mujahideen move towards it, and they find it. فَإِذَا هُوَ مَفْتُوحٌ. They see it is open, or I can't really translate word for word because that's not a verb. They see it. It doesn't have the word they see it. Fa'idha means suddenly they find something. It's worded in this way. Then. Sometimes it's actually it's said in some of the more formal books. We do find it. There is a door to paradise. It is said of it that it's the gate of mujahideen. They move towards it. So then it is open. In other words, when they get there, they see it open. It is open as soon as they're there. وَهُمْ مُتَقَلِّدُونَ بِسُيُوفِهِمْ. They're carrying their swords. وَالْجَمْعُ فِي الْمَوْقِفِ. And the people are in the place where they're stopped, the stopping place, the station that they had to wait. In other words, that door on the Day of Judgment, it says the Mujahideen move towards it, they find it to be open. When this happening, where are everybody else? It's talking about everybody else. وَالْجَمْعُ فِي الْمَوْقِفِ. The gathering of the people is actually still positioned in where they were stationed, they were stopped, which is basically where they're being questioned and all of that is happening. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ تُرَحِّبُ بِهِمْ. The angels welcome them. ثُمَّ قَالْ. This is one thing that the Holy Prophet said. Then he said, فَمَنْ. This was the greatness of jihad, how great it is, and those who engage in jihad, how great these people are and what will happen to them on the Day of Judgment and entering paradise. Now the opposite, those who don't. ثُمَّ قَالْ فَمَنْ تَرَكَ الْجِهَادِ. Whoever leaves jihad. There's a hadith that will explain. Here it just says whoever leaves jihad. So it leaves jihad, like in other words, doesn't engage in jihad. Of course, when you say leave jihad, when somebody leaves something, it means it's there. The conditions are there. You leave it. It doesn't say they don't engage in qital. Whoever doesn't engage, well, in the context of pretty much all the imams except for Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Mujtaba, and Imam al-Husayn, the rest of the imams did not engage in qital. Of course, jihad, yes, that's, maybe we'll explain a little bit of that, because jihad means struggling in the way of Allah against his enemies. And it is inclusive of qital, or fighting and war, but it's not limited to that. There's political jihad, there's economic jihad, there's cultural jihad. Jihad is has got different fronts and different arenas that it can be involving. But anyhow, so the point right now, what the point we're making from the wording right here, another hadith later on, if we get to it in this session, it explains further this idea of what does it mean for someone to leave it. And over there it says those who could go, and they leave it, they don't go. So in other words, there needs to be a condition for jihad, and a person chooses not to engage in it, right? Those who choose to engage, was already mentioned, those who choose not to engage, فَمَنْ تَرَكَ الْجِهَادِ أَلْبَسَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ ذُلًّا, God will humiliate that person, وَفَقْرًا, and give them poverty, فِي مَعِيشَتِهِ, in his livelihood, وَمَحْقًا فِي دِينِهِ, in his iman, his religion, his religiosity, his Islam will be destroyed. Mahq is to destroy something. Mahqan fi dinihi. Inna Allah Azza wa Jal. The last point that the Prophet has mentioned according to the account. Inna Allah Azza wa Jal aghna ummati bisanabiki khayliha wa marakiz rimahiha. This, in my understanding, is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi informing people of the future of the ummah of the Prophet. In other words, it is a prophecy. Verily, Allah, the Almighty, has aghna. Aghna means to make needless. Has made needless my ummah, my nation, bisanabiki khayliha, with the it's a form of sanabik, is a style, a form of the movement of the horse. I'm not familiar with the terminology. There's different motions that the horse can be moving in, different style, I guess, if that's the right word, and each of those have got a name in English. I've heard of them, I just can't remember them, and I don't know exactly what they are. I don't want to even try and make a fool of myself, but it's one of those styles. It's a fast motion, apparently, of the horse. Bisanabiki khayliha. In other words, with the movement of the horse. Horses were the transportation of choice in the battlefield. We know that any movie, any book you read, people on foot are at a disadvantage. People would try to have horses. Having horses for battle would show that and would mean that you have an advantage, you are more powerful. The Quran mentions that. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi is talking about the believers, the Muslimin, the followers of the Prophet, their warfare, basically. God has made my ummah, my nation, needless with warfare. One example he mentions is sanabiki khayliha. It's an eloquent way of talking about the horses, which is again symbolic. It doesn't mean horses. Today you don't use horses. You have tanks, you have drones, you have jets, you have all of that. The things that you saw in the war in Gaza, the believers have developed missiles, rockets, drones. These are all, of course, drones would be like the horses here. Drones, jets, tanks, trains, all of the ships, these would be means of transportation for war that are necessary. And ومراكز رماحها, this would be the rockets and the missiles. رماح are the spears. The weapon that they had, one of the weapons of choice. Of course, there were swords that was mentioned. There were arrows that was mentioned. But spears or lances are also a very important weapon that was used. And the Holy Prophet is saying through warfare, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning being equipped with proper warfare, the ummah will, on one hand, takleef, as we said, this doesn't sound like that. He is informing us. This is a prophecy that the ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will equip it. Well, he will equip the ummah with the means of defense. And through that, they will be needless. And we're seeing that. That is what is happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the believers the ability to develop modern means of transportation, to transport believers, soldiers, to transport the rimah that are mentioned, the various bombs, the accuracy, مراكز رماحها, to be accurately hitting targets. That's exactly what is happening. The believers don't believe in the likes of nukes or the mother of all bombs or chemical weapons and things like that. Mass killing. Islam is against mass killing. There's a person or a group of people that are causing trouble. They need to be taken out. We need a weapon that will get exactly those people that need to be taken out. Okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped the believers with it, and he's made them needless. They don't need to ask around. The muqawama in Palestine, in Lebanon, doesn't need to ask around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Through their efforts, through their willingness to stand for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this prophecy is for anyone today as a Muslim that looks at the situation of the Muslimin generally and wonders why we are here. Look at these ahadith and figure out why we're here. Because we didn't do these things. And now that the believers are doing these things, we see that prophecy coming true, as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi has mentioned. We hope that that continues. I believe our time is, well, actually we have a little bit more time. Let's continue to the next hadith. Okay, hadith number 3. وبإسناده قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله. When you find a hadith like this in a hadith book, it says with his isnad. His isnad is with his chain of transmission that was mentioned. In other words, the person I narrated from, Ali ibn Ibrahim, with his chain of transmission, قال قال رسول الله. What chain of transmission? The same one that was mentioned before. In other words, that same chain, Ali ibn Ibrahim, عن أبيه, عن النوفل, عن السكون, عن أبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله. The same chain of transmission has transmitted this hadith as well from the Holy Prophet. He has said, خيول الغزاة في الدنيا خيولهم في الجنة. The horses of al-ghuzat. Ghuzat are a lot of, in at least the Urdu-speaking culture, you use this word a lot. Ghazi, you refer to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Ghazi means the warrior, okay, the fighter. The plural of Ghazi is Ghuzat. The same way that the plural of Qadi, which means a judge, is Qudat. So, Khuyul, the horses, it's the plural of Khayl. The horses of the fighters, the warriors, al-Ghuzat, fi dunya, in the hereafter. Khuyuluhum, excuse me, in this world, خيولهم, they will be their horses, في الجنة, in paradise. وَإِنَّ أَرْضِيَةَ الْغُزَاتِ لَسُيُوفُهُمْ. This part, I'm not sure what it exactly means. What I found is أَرْضِيَة is the plural of رِدَاء, which means the clothing, what is worn. إِنَّ أَرْضِيَةَ الْغُزَاتِ لَسُيُوفُهُمْ. There's one possible meaning that comes to mind. Rada, I said clothing, it's not just any clothing. At least in some usages that we have seen. It refers to like the cloak, a piece of clothing that is worn on top, that is worn as a display of honor. Okay, when you want to wear your better clothing and you want to dress up, you would wear that piece on top. It's what would cause a person going to a gathering where they want to dress up to look more presentable, to be dressed more properly. The proper attire of a person would be their rida. There's different usages. This is what I... And then, if that is a correct understanding, إِنَّ أَرْضِيَةَ الْغُزَاتِ لَسُيُوفُهُمْ. For the warriors, the part of their clothing, the part of what they wear, the gear they have, that represents that piece, that most honorable piece of the clothing, when you dress up for a formal gathering, would be your rada. Your rada for the warrior is their suyuf. That is the rada of the warriors. So these are words of encouragement. They are words of honoring the ghuzat, the warriors. So that amongst the Muslimin, these people are valued and honored. One of the problems that we have had is that, this is before the Islamic Revolution, that Muslimin were generally, the pious ones, were encouraged to be in the masjid. Encouraged that what you need to do is to have a tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, have a turba, just do sajda, that's what you need to do. Who cares? Palestine is taken. Who cares? Iraq, they took it. The British took it. Then they gave it to Saddam. They gave it to this person. Who cares? Just be in the masjid. This is what they encouraged. And for a believer, the Holy Prophet used different, what we're seeing right now, we're reading, to encourage and to give value to the image of a warrior. You see, the Westerners actually do that. You see all these Memorial Day? What's Memorial Day? It's supposed to be honoring the people who have fallen for this country. Well, those who really fell for this country, defending the people, we honor them. There's no question. If any soldier anywhere in the world dies defending their people against aggression, that's an honorable person. That's honorable death. But with the warriors defending the American people, at least for the last century, the military in the U.S., maybe some of the soldiers are not aware of, and I know some of them aren't, when they realize they turn away from the wrong deeds. But what do they do in order to encourage people? You get on any flight, before you get on, they say... Members of the military, those in uniform, that are, they allow them to board. These are all elements to encourage people to look up to a person that is considered a warrior, a military, a soldier, a member of the military, someone who is defending, someone who's putting their life on the line. It's encouraged. Now, unfortunately, when that is at the service of Taghut, then that culture promotes entering a military that goes around to the different parts of the world, protects oil fields that are stolen oil in Syria, protect the Saudi regime from its own people, protect the Bahraini regime from its own people, and cause all the wrong things that we're aware of. Amongst Muslimin, they downplay that. It should be the other way around. When it comes to the Muslimin, they badmouth Hamas, Jihad al-Islami, everybody shut up, nobody talk about Hamas, nobody talk about Jihad al-Islami, nobody talk about Hezbollah, it's actually a crime. They tell Muslimin, these guys are terrorists, they're bad people, you don't want to be like them. That's how it would be. Unfortunately, we take that. The Holy Prophet said, this is خيول الغزات في الدنيا خيولهم في الجنة. The transport, the means of, this is symbolic. Now, we don't know what paradise is like. Are we going to have any cars there? I really don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. I don't know enough about anything, really. What we have are horses and things like that. But is there going to be any technology? Are we going to... I don't know the answer to that question. This is symbolic. The point is, your attire, what you ride on, these things are going to be riding you to paradise. Whether you're going to have that means of transportation, that car or that tank or that jet or whatever it is that you're riding for jihad fi sabilillah is riding you, is connecting you, is taking you to paradise. We should be looking up to Hamas, to Jihad al-Islami, to Hezbollah, to the Sepah, to Hashd al-Sha'bi, to Ansarullah and the rest of the Mujahideen in Yemen, to Zainabiyun, to Fatimiyun. These ahadith are for us to honor these people and to realize that this is a great thing that they're doing. And of course, it's stating a fact. It's not just words of encouragement. These are facts. They're facts that are being said for encouragement. In أرضيت الغزات لسيوفهم, when you see a man carrying their weapon, a believer carrying their weapon for justice, it's not a bad scene. You see these fools carrying, they pose with their weapons, they pose with the victim and their guns. This is the person we took out, a human being, innocent person. They take pictures, they send them to families, they show them to their children, to their spouses. This is considered a good thing. You see Hamas, you see Hezbollah, you see Jihad al-Islami holding weapons, which is what the Prophet is saying, أَرْضِيَةُ الْغُزَاتِ. These are warriors. That's their cloth of honor, their attire of honor. That's what they're supposed to be wearing. You see a picture of that, oh, this is terrorism. Let's get that out of there. إِنَّ أَرْضِيَةَ الْغُزَاتِ لَسُيُوفُهُمْ. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله, and in this account the Imam has said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله has said, أخبرني جبرائيل, جبرائيل told me, بأمر قرت به عيني, he told me of a matter that my eyes were cooled. This is an expression, it means I was very happy when I heard this. وفرح به قلبي, my heart was happy and joyful. قال يا محمد, what he said is this, يا محمد من غزا من أمتك في سبيل الله فأصابه قطرة من السماء أو صداع كتب الله عز وجل له شهادة. Anyone so much as engages. Now the word here is warrior. This is war. This is military warfare. This is not jihad. Jihad was mentioned in another hadith. We're talking, and all the examples we talked about in this hadith have to do with military warfare. The previous hadith had to do with jihad. Please, these nuances are very important. Jibra'il, the Prophet says, this made me very happy. Jibra'il said, whoever, ya Muhammad, man ghaza min ummatik, from your ummah, any one of the members of Hezbollah, Jihad al-Islami, Hamas, Sepah, Hashd al-Sha'bi, Ansarullah, all these people, anywhere else, these are the names that I'm aware of, Fatimiyun, Zainabiyun, and so on and so forth. Any one of them that engages in battle, من غزا من أمتك في سبيل الله, in the way of Allah. These examples were for that reason. These are, otherwise there are militaries. The Jordanian military is there too. There is the Saudi military. There's the Bahraini military. There's the Emirati military. Of course, it's funny that I'm saying that. I don't know what the Emirati military means. But anyway, there are people in uniform with weapons that have very expensive weapons, although they're dumb and they can't really use them. And that's what you're seeing in Yemen and so on. But we're talking about fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah, in the way of defending the people, in the way of defending the lifestyle of Islam, the lands of the Muslimin, like in Palestine, and all these areas. Those who engage in that, then when they are involved in that war, فَأَصَابَهُ قَطْرَةٌ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, a drop from the sky falls on them. If I understand that correctly, because I would think that it would be something to do with war, but قَطْرَة, as far as I know, I'll check again if I find that my knowledge is inadequate and there's another meaning to the word qatra. What I understand of qatra, and I looked it, but I didn't spend too much time researching because it was pretty obvious to me, but that could be out of my ignorance. Qatra means a drop. Okay, a drop from the heaven. What comes from the sky, from the heaven? It's rain. Okay. I'm not saying that's not the case, but I'm not sure that that is what is intended. So with that doubt I have in mind, perhaps this is what it means. Maybe it means something else. I'll check again. I'll spend a little more time checking just to make sure that this is not an error in understanding. So one thing is قَطْرَةٌ مِنَ السَّمَاءٌ, drop from the sky. أَوْ صُدَاعٌ, صُدَاع means a headache. Okay, a headache. Pain in the head. This is at least one of the meanings that seemed appropriate here. If you engage in that battle, it causes you, perhaps what the hadith is trying to tell us from the Prophet telling us what Jibreel said, the slightest bit of pain that comes your way, the slightest bit of pain. If you move in that direction, pain comes your way. What happens? كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّهُ شَهَادَةً, a shahada, a martyrdom, is written for that person. The person is alive. This is encouragement. It's a fact. This is not made up. This isn't something just to encourage. No, it's a fact stated. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. There's another hadith. We're going to maybe read a little bit of it. Ma'yurul mu'mineen, jihad is a gate, a door that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens for special believers. Okay, well, when you see the shahada, martyrdom is such a great thing. If you engage in battle, a little bit of pain comes, a shahada is written. A person could be, they may have received a number of shahadat, a number of martyrdoms, because they went to battle again and again and again, got wounded, they went through pain and so on and so forth. These are hadith that we need to study, we need to read, we need to understand, and understand them correctly. If we don't interpret these right and read them and understand how they really are great things, if understood correctly, then others will come and interpret them, use them to say Islam is wrong, Islam is bad, Islam is horrible, Islam is terrorism, Islam is this, and then draw those cartoons. No, those cartoons are of you. You are like that, and worse than that. You're worse than what you say the Islam did or says. And then you say Islam is like this. No, this is what it is, and it's beautiful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us more insight into the teachings of Islam. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.